I want to begin in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. And I'm going to read two versions, one in the King James and one in the Message version. And then I'm going to give you a definition of confidence and then speak to you for a few minutes. Paul, writing to the Hebrew church, said, Hebrews 10:32, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after all you have done the will of God, after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." In the Message version, it reads this way: "Remember those early days after you first saw the light? Those were the hard times. Kicked around in public, targets of every kind of abuse. Some days it was you, other days your friends. If some friends went to prison, you stuck by them. If some enemies broke in and seized your goods, you let them go with a smile, knowing they couldn't touch your real treasure. Nothing they did bothered you. Nothing set you back. So don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan so you'll be there for the promised completion. It won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up most any minute. But anyone who is right with me thrives on loyal trust. If he cuts and runs, I won't be very happy. But we're not quitters who lose out. Oh, no. We'll stay with it and survive, trusting all the way. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence." The word confidence means this. It's simple. Trust or faith in a person. Confidence is a trusting relationship. Confidence is a feeling of assurance. Confidence is absolute trustworthiness of another. It's belief, dependence, reliance, being without doubt, sureness, and in quotes, for sure. I received a letter and a thanks from one of the persecuted churches that we support, Open Doors. And in it, it had a testimony of a pastor who was arrested. And arrested for revealing government secrets. Which we know he did not reveal government secrets because he doesn't work for the government. But he was imprisoned. And he wrote to his wife and he said, basically, I can't quote it, "This is great. This is really good. This is God's time. This is the time when I can get some rest and I can think more clearly about God's word. Don't forget to buy the children some chicken and some meat because they're young and they need to be nourished. And don't forget to buy them some snacks." And I'm saying, this guy just got arrested for preaching the gospel in a persecuted land, and he's imprisoned with this testimony that this is good. I needed a rest. And this is a time when I can really hear God's voice very clearly without all of that that's going on outside. This man does not believe he's going to die in prison. This man doesn't believe that this is the end. This man doesn't believe that his imprisonment because of persecution or preaching the gospel is the end of his life. He's just saying this is a respite. I'm at Old Forge. I'm out near the beach. Man, I can hear myself think. And that sounds crazy to us, doesn't it? It sounds crazy that a man who is being so afflicted and so persecuted has this great confidence in God that he believes that this is God's will for his life at this moment, but not the end of his life. Because God, who began the good work in him, is faithful to complete that work. Now let me stop here for a moment. And let me just pray a little prayer, and maybe this doesn't apply to you. Father, forgive me for the times that I don't trust you. Forgive me for the times that I have unbelief. Forgive me for the times that I try to forge ahead on my own and not correspond with you concerning the will of God. Lord, for the times that I take my will back in my own life from you. The times that I don't feel that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but do it anyway, thinking that this is the right way, when that feeling in your heart, that voice in your heart, that Spirit of God that gives peace beyond understanding is not present, but we go ahead. Forgive us, forgive me for not having confidence in you, for not trusting you, for not holding on to your hand in moments of affliction, in moments of perplexity, in moments of complexity, in moments of frustration and discouragement. Help me to cross that bridge in a better way, that I can hold on to your hand and have confidence and not cast away that confidence that I've had in God. And I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 107 and verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You know, when we were in sin, we were in a destructive mode. We were in a pit. We were in the place of desolation, where destruction just rushed over us. And there were times in our life, in our sinful life, when we thought, there's something not right. There's just something missing. There's something that I'm looking for that I haven't found yet. And then all of a sudden, Christ came with the word. Maybe a gospel track, maybe a song, maybe a church service, maybe an invitation from somewhere by a Christian. Maybe someone sitting down and having a lunch with you, or a hamburger or a Coke, and they started telling you of their story about Jesus. And you looked at your life and you evaluated your life and you said, man, my life really stinks. My life is going nowhere. My life is chasing rainbows that I never can catch. I'm looking for the pot of gold that I never touch. I'm looking for the ship to come into the harbor that hasn't arrived. And someone told you about this Jesus. And the word of God came to us with such great confidence that what we read in this Bible, we actually believed at that moment. Without doubt, without despairing, without a hint or a seasoning of unbelief, we said, God said it, I believe it, that settled it. That was it. And sometimes I think we listened to too many tapes, we went to too many seminars, and we listened to too many people giving their opinions about the Bible, and we no longer had that in our hearts. Said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And we got a quagmire in our spirit, and all of a sudden there was an interruption of God's presence in our life. God is still the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And did not he do that when we came to Christ out of our sinful life? Did not he save us from our own destruction? We were on the road of self-destruction. And we forget that sometimes. And we begin to wane in our confidence with God, and we forget the resume that God has had in our life. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, everyone that's sitting here who's been with the Lord for any length of time has a resume with God, and God has a resume with you. And praise God, we've been through thick and thin, through hell and high water, through death and sickness and sorrow and setbacks. My God, we've come through. And this morning we find ourselves standing in the face of God, still praising God, still having confidence in God, still believing in God, still saying, I believe it. Praise God. It's settled in my mind, in my soul, and in my spirit because God said it. Yes, we go through periods. And I'm going to get on this hobby horse that I've been on about partnership. We all go through moments. Seasons, when the enemy comes in like a flood and tries to take out one of us, and you don't have the strength at that moment sometimes to fight the flood. You don't have the stamina. It's not that you don't believe. It's not that you don't have the confidence in God, but sometimes when that wave hits you, and those winds hit you in the face, and the rains beat upon you, and so on and so forth, you get a little tired, and you get a little weary, and you expect something to happen, but you can't move. Your body wants to go, but it doesn't. Your spirit wants to move, but it doesn't. That's when we need partnership. That's what Paul was talking about. Stay together. Encourage one another. Surround that person that's going through the greatest trial, and surround them with prayer. Surround them with love. Surround them with edification and encouragement. And let them know, we will not let you down. We will not let you down. We will not let you down. It's military. It's warfare. It's fighting. Like we spoke the last time we preached. The Bible said in Psalm 6 and 1, listen, David, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, and deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. And in the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. My eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all of my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. For the Lord had heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord had heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Here's a great man of God who's crying out to God in his weakness, in his frailty, in his moment of despair. And he's saying, God, I'm hanging on by a thread. My enemies are surrounding me. My afflictions are great. The perplexity of my life, I can't have an answer for any of it. How long? The psalmist said in Psalm 13 and 1, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Let mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me. In these passages, David was saying, Lord, if I die, how can I praise you? If I'm all chained up in bondage, Lord, how can I praise you and worship you? If I'm all bound up with all this affliction and my enemies are beating upon me, how can I praise you, God? How long? And David thinks that God has forgotten him. David thinks that God has gone to sleep in his life. David, all of a sudden, is beginning to believe that, well, where are you, God, when I need you? And we say the same thing sometimes because we're not super spiritual Christians. And sometimes we get down in our weeping and we get down in our tears and we get down upon our knees and we say, God, how long? Lord God, how long? Lord, have you forgotten me? Lord God, give me a sign. Please, don't get so down on yourself in those moments to believe the lie that you don't love God. That you don't trust God. Don't believe the lie that you don't have confidence in God. Listen, you're tired. You're beaten. You're weary. And if this great man of God who was King David, this great warrior, this great conqueror who killed the lion and the bear and Goliath, who was at war for most of his life, who endured troubles in his home and in his family, some brought on by his own behavior, but somehow God said, I love David. Somehow God came to the aid of David. Somehow God came to the presence of David. Somehow God looked down upon him and that big hand from heaven said, David, I have not forgotten you. My God, I see you, son. My God, you're in real point view. I see you very explicit. I've got 20/20 vision and I know where you are and I know what you're feeling and I know what you're experiencing. Jesus. How long? Psalm 35:7. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are my enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Ha ha, ha ha, our eye hath seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord, keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so we would have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion, together that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. If we put it in terms of our lives today, Lord, don't let my afflictions rejoice against me. Lord, don't let what you've allowed into my life that seemingly sometimes envelops me and encumbers me, body, soul, and spirit, dictate to me and speak lies to me that you'll never get out of the situation you're in, that it will never get better for you, that it will only get worse. Psalm 11 and verse 1 reads, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain." Let's stop right there. The psalmist put a stake in the ground with all of his emotion, with all of his pain and affliction, with all of his complexities and questions, and with all the attacks that came against him. He wrote in Psalm 11, "In the Lord, I put my trust. How say you to my soul?" What's he saying? Flee as a bird to your mountain? Is that what the enemy is saying? Give up? Flee? God is dead? He's not alive? Put it away? Stop it? Don't go to church no more? Don't believe anymore? You're done? No. David was saying, "I trust God." That's his declaration. "The Lord is my defense. He's my strength. He's my peace. He's my provider. He's a present help in the time of trouble. I will not run away. How dare you tell me to flee? God is my hope and my refuge. How can we flee? How can we run? Where would we go? The enemy desires that for us. The enemy desires that we run away when things get tough. The enemy desires that you run from your troubles." David said, "No, I will not flee. I am planted. I am settled. I am established. I am on the rock of God, and his name is Jesus." It's tempting to hibernate. When my mother was raising five children, in the old days, when things got tough, I remember Violet saying, "I'm going to move a million miles away from here." She used to declare to her family, "I'm going to move a million miles away from here." And then in the very next moment, she was taking care of one of us, comforting one of us, putting Mercurochrome on one of our knees that got bruised because we fell off of our bicycle. Mercurochrome, you don't even hear of that anymore, do you? You don't even know what that is, some of you, you're so young. She was the one that signed my report cards early in the morning. "What's this?" I said, "Just sign it, Mother." She's the one that signed my papers when I failed a test. "Just sign it, Mother." She's the one that covered for me. She was the same one that said I was going to move a million miles away. But she was the same one that got on her hands and knees and waxed her floor with Johnson's Paste Wax square by square on that linoleum. Oh, we all feel that way sometimes. We all feel like we need a respite a million miles away. We all feel like we need a hut somewhere to go to and say, "Hey, no forwarding address that has been left." We all feel that way. The Bible says, the psalmist said in Psalm 11 and 2, "For lo, the wicked bend their bow." They bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. You know what that's saying? It's the machination of the enemy. He will use anyone or anything to afflict you. The word "shoot" means to point out as if he's aiming you by finger. "I see you. I see you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. You've had it easy for a while, and I'm going to get you." And he points his finger. He shoots at us. It's like he's calling you out in the middle of the street and he's saying, "Put up or shut up. What do you really have? Do you have what it takes to be an overcomer?" That's what he's saying. He's challenging you to a duel, to a fight, to a gunfight. And he's saying that he has the faster drawer. He's saying that he has the faster sword. But, oh, my friend, let me remind you that we have the sword of the Lord. Let me remind you that our sword is sharpened as we sharpen each other's sword, because iron sharpens iron. And the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Hallelujah. More than conquerors. Oh, a conqueror is a great person. A conqueror is a one that wins many battles. But being more than a conqueror is a super achiever. It's someone that goes beyond, because they've got the power of God and the ability of God and the presence of God and the anointing of God in their life. Now hear what God speaks in Deuteronomy. Chapter 8, verse 1. A little lengthy, but it's worth listening to. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Verse 3. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou may diggest brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he had given thee.